Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we explore the Old Testament book of Malachi and learn about the dangers of questioning God. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in the book of Malachi. Small little Old Testament book. The last writing prophet was Malachi. It's the last book in your Old Testament, the 39th book of the Old Testament. And what a powerful book it is. It's a burden, Malachi said, the messenger. It's a burden to share some of these thoughts, some of these truths about the people of God. They had become plastic, John, in their worship, and they weren't seeing themselves the way God was seeing them. So God was lovingly and yet pointedly showing them.
Yes, and this is why it is a very solemn truth that we have here, and that Malachi wants them to realize this gets to the very heart of your relationship with God. If that is not right, then you're not going to be right with God.
So we ended yesterday when God made the contrast and said, listen, even the Gentiles are going to worship me one day. I just dropped my Bible, my friends. Hang on a second. Even the Gentiles are going to worship me one day and honor my altar. But then he says, to bring it right back to the people to whom he was speaking, he says in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 12, but ye have profaned it. You've profaned the altar, the work of God, the altar of God, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Boy, strong language. And we've talked about the general theme already, but God's giving a couple other illustrative thoughts here.
You know, God is showing them, again, who he is. And what a great conclusion that we're going to have here in chapter one as we come to the final verses here, where God does reiterate, you know, you all have a major problem. They were not serving God willingly. They were not serving God out of a heart of love. This had just become to them, you know, just a daily routine, and they were not at all fascinated by the opportunity they had to serve a living God.
I like how God uses the illustration of the altar as his table, the table of the Lord. So if you ever serve a guest at your home, at your table, you try to set what's good before them. It seems like everybody has that go-to meal. For my mother growing up, it was lasagna. So when we were having lasagna, my mother was making lasagna, we knew a guest was coming over because it was kind of her go-to meal. And she wanted to put her best into that lasagna. So when we offer before the Lord, that what the Bible's saying is you're offering me that which is polluted. It's almost as if you're offering me, you would never do that to an honored guest. And God said, but that's what you're doing to me.
You know, I often get tickled when I see the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving and they have their meal there and they're having toast and popcorn. I often chuckle to myself because I have never eaten a Thanksgiving meal like that. Thanksgiving meals are usually, you know, bountiful. You have ham, turkey, all these great things going on. But here they're offering God something they would never offer, like you said.
And so God speaks not only to the offering itself, what you're bringing to me, but he comes back again to the motivation. And God is coming back over and over again in the book of Malachi to why do what we do? Motives matter. We see that certainly reiterated in the New Testament over and over again. But sometimes we get this skewed view of the Old Testament as if, you know, heart mattered in the New Testament, but heart didn't matter in the Old Testament. But nothing could be farther from the truth.
And you're right there. That is such a common perception that people have talked to me about over the years, is they have a different God in the Old Testament than the God in the New Testament. And that's not right at all. Understanding the law is very clear that the heart was crucial. And in Deuteronomy 10, God tells them, hey, what I want circumcised is your heart.
And I mean, the very Shema, you know, the scripture that every child was responsible to memorize. Ye shall love the Lord thy God. I, the Lord, your God, I'm one Lord. Ye shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart. So, I mean, there it is. God's always been concerned about the heart. Their actions are right, but their heart is far from me, is a theme of the prophets. So here in Malachi chapter 1, he comes back to the motivation of the heart in verse 13 by exposing their wrong motive. And he says in verse 13, ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. Ye have snuffed at it. Talking about serving God, offering the sacrifices. He's speaking to the priests and saying, you're saying that serving me is like, oh, you know, and poof, snuffing at it. Wow.
Yeah, that is quite a rebuke. And what vivid imagery that God uses here. And I think to apply it today, you know, how that if we're not careful in church, you know, even those that are pastors, those that are our teachers, you know, find it sometimes wearisome. Oh, no, I have to get another message ready, or I have to get something else ready to teach, or I have to get up and go and, you know, do whatever that case may need to be done. But we don't look at it as, wow, what an opportunity to serve a risen Savior. And Satan gets us to be negative about the great ability and opportunity to serve the Almighty God.
What a weariness is it? I've heard it said this way, we should never be weary of the work of God. Sometimes we get weary in the work. You know, be not weary in well-doing, the Bible says. So weariness really is an attitudinal thing, isn't it? It's like, oh, gotta do this. I have to serve God. I get the image of maybe a teenage son who's sitting on the couch and he's playing a video game and mom's labored all day long and made this nice meal. And finally it's time for dinner and says, okay, son, you know, put down the controller. It's time for dinner. And the son goes, you know, I mean, that's okay. I'm doing it. He's sauntering over to the table. He's sitting there eating the meal that was lovingly prepared by mom, but the attitude, that's what God is getting at here.
Yeah, and God is extremely concerned about our attitude. And when our attitude is right, and we have a great heart toward God, we find joy in Christian living. You know, it often concerns me when people tell me that they just don't have any joy in Christ. Well, that does spring from a root issue in the heart.
And, you know, we've pointed out now for these last 3 days, my friends, if you've been with us, that, you know, attitude is everything and heart is what God is looking at. But let's not unwisely assume then that action is not important, because action will necessarily arise out of a right attitude, and it will be the indication of. So watch how that plays out here in verse 13. What a weariness, they were saying. You've snuffed at it, you know, saith the Lord of hosts. And then he says, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, the sick, ye brought an offering. Should I accept this? So isn't it interesting that people that are weary in the work of God, oh, I got to do this again, got to come again, got to give again, got to serve again, it's going to affect the quality of what they bring. So heart is going to show up in action.
It always does in every area of life. That's always so true, that where we are at inside in our heart, what we are like internally will really evidence on the outside, which goes back to your point. I hear people sometimes say, well, it doesn't matter what you do as long as your heart's right. Well, if your heart is right, and if God's working in your heart, you're walking with God, then you're going to be evidencing on the outside things that will be pleasing to God.
Your actions, my friends, your works, to put it in the Bible language, are going to be an indicator of your faith. Without a faith without works is dead. It's just a dead thing. There's nothing real about it. A dynamic faith is always going to show up in what we do. Somebody said it this way: we only truly believe that which moves us to actions. And so let your works, not someone else's works, but let your works, let them be an indicator to you of the validity of your heart and of your faith.
And I think so much here of what Jesus, what God is telling through Malachi, and I think what Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, and people often talk about the Sermon on the Mount, often they misquote it and they use it wrongly. But what Jesus is talking about a lot in the Sermon on the Mount is their heart and their actions. And he says in Matthew 5:16, you know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we really are not going to be the children of God that we need to be unless we are right with God internally and right with God in the way we act in our good works toward those around us.
Chapter 1 ends with really probably the strongest language of the chapter when the Lord said, but cursed be the deceiver. And so in what way were people being deceptive to the Lord or attempting? We can never deceive the Lord, obviously. But how were they being deceptive? Well, the Bible says, which hath in his flock a male and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So here's what people were doing, John. They were vowing that they were going to give God the best. I'm going to give God my best. And then when it came time to actually make the sacrifice, they had this male in their flock. They had this prime sacrifice. But when push came to shove, they didn't offer what they said they would offer. And I'll tell you, if any verse describes modern day Christianity, it's this one. You know, we're really great about making the vow. We're great about hitting the altar. We're great about making the big decision. And but I'm going to give God my best and we're going to serve God and blah, blah, blah. But when it comes right down to it, we were deceptive.
You know, so often today, our culture is just awash with emotionalism. And sadly, a lot of people think if the altar is full, it means it was a great service. Doesn't necessarily mean that. It could just mean the preacher told a tear-jerking story that got people down the altar.
Or people are just conditioned to come forward. It just becomes part of our rote, part of our ceremony.
Exactly right. You know, as you mentioned, Pastor, what really determines what is happening in a church is what are people doing when they leave the church?
Hmm.
You know, they can, I've seen people before who shout amen, and I'm not against saying amen necessarily, you know, but I've seen people shout amen sometimes, yet throughout the week, their life was not anywhere near walking with God.
That's right. So the deceptiveness was, I'm going to do this, but when it actually comes down to making that vow good, we keep that male back in the flock. Now, I guess my question to each one of you today would be, what male is in your flock? What decision have you made for the Lord that you've left unfulfilled? When push comes to shove, well, I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to be active in his word. I'm going to spend some quality time in prayer. I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to give this, whatever it is. You know, or have we just made the right decision in the moment, but when it came time to make the sacrifice, we've kept that male in the flock? It's a piercing question. It's a question that I don't ask. It's a question that God asks. And so I hope that you'll spend some time today looking inward. I hope that I will as well. And let's let God do that inward work in our heart so that our lives reflect the glory that he so richly deserves. God bless you, my friends. I appreciate you joining us again today.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.